I'm Shachar Azami, and in the news, widening social gaps and how to close them. In recent weeks, the United States has experienced civil unrest as it's coping, like so many other countries around the world, with issues of inequality and widening social gaps. There are important issues to contend with, but it's clear we must all find a way to resolve these issues with a forward-looking outlook, one which entails a solution rather than the perpetuation of the problem. At JBS, we do our best to share with you the gems you will hear nowhere else. Many of those gems are found in Israel, a tiny country with a diverse population, which even though is not devoid of its own issues, is heavily engaged in a constant strive to find solutions for the problems it faces. This is the epitome of the Israeli experience. And such is the topic we will introduce to you today. Kosher Kravi, kosher, not kosher, Kosher Kravi, as in working out, combat fitness program, is a pre-military program with the main objective of getting teenagers ready for their IDF service and for many different screening processes they will have to face before and after joining the army. But it has far more reaching goals. The goals are to provide these teenagers both the physical and mental strength that is required not only for their IDF service, but also to be part of Israeli society. We would like, or as the program states, they would like to boost their confidence, their ability to speak, and to encourage the most Israeli element of all, creativity, leadership, and the eternal strive for perfection. As per this program, the benefits would be to transcend the IDF service and do much more for Israeli society, to provide with these kids with values so that they become not only better people, but better citizens of the overall Israeli society throughout their lives. To discuss this fascinating initiative and more, I am thrilled to have with us all the way from the city of Or Akiva in Israel on JBS, the founder and leader of this incredible grassroots initiative, Shai Avni. Shai, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So let's introduce you for the sake of our viewers, just so that they know who you are. Shai is a youngster who was actually born in 1985 and has done so much in such little time. He just got married, so big mazel tov, Shai.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Throughout his life, he's dealt with many kind of different sports. And inspired by his brother Shlomi, his desire was to join the Israeli Navy SEALs. So he began working out at the age of 15. He served for the Israeli in the IDF, the Israeli Navy SEALs, for 5 years between 2003 and 2008. Now, if you remember, this was time saturated with various events on the security front, from the kidnapping of Gilad Shalit, the second Lebanon War, and the never-ending operations in the Gaza Strip. Ever since he left the army, he's continued engaging with civil society on a variety of levels, and this is what brought about Kosher Kravi. In addition, somebody like Shai wouldn't have it any other way, he serves in the IDF reserve 80 days a year, especially guiding, training, and leading as needed. It's such a pleasure to have you with us today, Shai. Thank you so much for taking the time. How are you?
Thank you, Shachar. I'm okay.
How is Israel now? We're hearing so much about the COVID-19 and recent developments, first wave, second wave. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, it's actually almost funny, but too sad. The second wave here is almost much greater than the first one. And, you know, they're just realizing it now. And we're heading up for a lockdown once more.
So let's talk about Kosher Kravi, that the program that you and your brother made happen. Tell us a little bit about how did it begin? Maybe a little bit about where you live. Describe it a little bit. You know, what caused the program to come to be? What made it come to be?
So Shlomi got out of the army in 98, something like that.
Shlomi is your older brother.
Yeah, he's my older brother, sorry. He was in the Israeli Navy SEALs as well. Mm-hmm. At that time, the enlisting percentage in Or Akiva was very low.
And wait, Or Akiva is your hometown?
Yeah.
And when you're saying that the rate was low, it means not enough teenagers joined the IDF from Or Akiva. And when you were talking about the army, in Israel, the army is the pillar of Israeli society. It's yes, where it's the melting pot through which so many Israeli citizens go through. And it's kind of like your entry ticket to Israeli society, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So Shlomi leaves the finishes his army service in 98. He looks around and it bothers him. Why did it bother him, Shai? I mean, a lot of people take their own path in life, start building their own life, go to school, build their own careers. And yet, Shlomi was looking around him and was looking to make a difference where he, in his hometown.
Shlomi was growing up in tougher neighborhoods in Or Akiva. And, you know, getting out of this position and finding a good path, he came back from the army and he wanted to give back. And he wanted to give the chance to other kids to also make their first step into success.
That's
and
amazing.
As you said, the IDF is the perfect step. Shlomi gets out of the army. He goes to that same tough neighborhood. He recruits one teenager, maybe two, and he starts to run with them, starting to work out.
You're talking about literally running.
Yeah.
Yep. So at that point, he starts attracting more and more kids.
Yeah.
How does that grow? What happens with the group?
He goes into high schools and all the schools in Or Akiva. And, you know, from year to year, people hear about it. They want to come because their friends are there, because it's cool to be in the Kosher Kavi. And because they get educated and they are much more aware about the army and what they can do.
So what kind of results do you see in the first few years? Did you see more of these teenagers join the IDF in combat duties?
Yeah. So it went from one or two a year, or maybe zero, to at least 10, 15 a year. And later on, it got to a couple of dozen, I guess. Yeah, at least 25, 30.
Did you get any Navy SEALs to be part of it?
One, yeah. Except me and Shlomi, one more.
This attracted a lot of youngsters from Or Akiva, but not only Or Akiva.
No, not only Or Akiva. The whole neighborhood, the whole
region,
close, cities.
So Caesarea is right adjacent to Or Akiva, right?
Yeah, we had a lot of students from Caesarea. Also now.
So this is an opportunity to engage. From, you know, these kids who wouldn't usually get a chance to get together under normal circumstances, suddenly have a chance to meet each other. And even before they join the melting pot of Israeli society, the IDF, they get together under your auspices at the Kosher Kravi program.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it in 2020, but it still goes on. Like sometimes students from teenagers from Binyamin or something like that would come. And they fit in right away. But sometimes you can see the fusion of the different cultures and the different kind of neighborhoods the teenagers grew up in, you know, the Or Akiva versus the rest of the guys. And at first it's almost unpleasant, but after one workout, the harmony is there.
Yeah. And 98 to 2020 is a long time. You must have alumni of the program, kids who went through the program, went to the army, served a meaningful service, and now they're part of Israeli society. Do you keep in touch? And if so, what do you do?
First of all, I have at least four or five instructors right now. All of them were students in the program, including myself. And the graduates, they always come to visit.
Wow. So that's continuous involvement.
Yeah.
And when you're saying come to visit, do they engage with the kids who are currently in the program?
Either they just come and, you know, tell their stories, or they come and join the workout, or they come and help us instruct. They run with the kids. They help them.
Tell me a little bit about such a story. One outstanding story of a change that you had with one of your participants, one of those students.
I'll tell you one about Shlomi's students. So there's a kid like 15 years old. I think it was early 2000. He's been arrested at least 3 or 4 times, smashing cars' windows, violence, incidents like this.
Okay.
So Shlomi sees him one day during such an activity, and he tells him, "Hey, you want to do something a little more productive?" And he's arguing with Shlomi. Why should I run with you? Like, what is this going to do for me? And the next workout, he comes, he tries. And 4 years later, he's an officer in the army, in Golani. He's getting not a badge of honor, but...
Alash, commendation?
Yeah.
Right.
From the Ramatkal.
Chief of staff, right?
Yeah. And you get stories like that at least 2-3 times a year.
So you create this this combat fitness scheme where you take them out to the park, engage with them, but you're actually doing so much more than just physical fitness, don't you?
Totally. It's like it started as a byproduct of the program. Like, we train you for the army. We want you to go as far as you can to fulfill your inspirations and all of that. But it's much more than that. And the byproduct became the bigger reason for doing the whole thing.
And let me just understand, again, for the sake of our viewers, because a lot of people put responsibility on the shoulders of the municipality, on the shoulders of the government. But what you're talking about here, Shai, is that you and your brother Shlomi, as ordinary citizens who are caring, involved, engaged citizens of Or Akiva, just looked around you and saw a situation and just went ahead and did your best to try and contribute and fix it.
Basically, yeah. I have to give the credit to Shlomi, and I'm just following his footsteps. But yeah.
But that's
and
what
the idea is, to make it as big as we can.
This is as grassroots as you can go.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Shai. You're a visionary. You're clearly doing a lot for your community and for your neighborhood and for your people. What you're describing is something that can easily, or do you think it's possible to create such programs outside of Israel? If somebody who's listening to us in California or in one of the tougher neighborhoods of New York, or, you know, this is not something that singularly is only befitting to the state of Israel, isn't it?
Most definitely, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know how to start because the cultural difference would be so vast, but yeah.
Have you ever engaged? I mean, I know you've been doing a lot of work in your hometown. Did you have any interactions with the American Jewish world or the outside world about sharing the visions for combat fitness, the scheme of how you do things? I mean, even your instructors are all alums, and of course yourself following in the footsteps of your brother. Did you get a chance to share this professionally with the outside world, or is this the first time we're actually doing it?
The outside world, yeah, but not with the American Jewish community. I've been instructing outside of Israel, but mostly police units. And, you know, the same values I give those kids, I try to pass on there. But unfortunately, no.
Right.
But so I would
that would be an amazing story.
Never thought about it.
Yeah, so that's the amazing thing. So this is really the diamond in the rough, where we're talking about the grassroots neighborhood program that has been spearheaded by you, yourself and your brother, with your brother establishing it. But basically, if anybody has the initiative out there and the understanding of their neighborhood, they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your message to, where do you find these kids after their army service? What do they go and do? Where do you find them in, as we say in Israel, the ezrachut, in their civilian life?
First of all, I think the main thing the program gives them is the will to give back. They got so much out of the Kosher Kavi, they always keep saying how it changed their lives. And I think the main thing is they want to give back. They want to do. They want to come and instruct in the Kosher Kavi. They want to help teenagers anywhere in Israel. And that's the biggest thing. And beside that, there are so many values I can talk about that I speak with the group, but I'll choose just one. And it's not really a value, it's just a phrase that we say.
Hey, feel free.
Okay, so no mediocrity. Okay? It comes back in workouts, like at least 10, 15, 100 times a workout, an hour. And I think it gives them a lot with whatever they do after the army, in the army. I told you before in one of our conversations, sometimes some of these kids, they go to the army and they meet other soldiers or other people that came from other groups or other anywhere. And, you know, there are some bending corners and things like that. And the standards that they are used to from the Kosher Kavi are much bigger than the, much higher than what they meet in the army, which is almost absurd, but that's the way it is. And I think they take it with them after the army and when they go to school or in their jobs or whatever. And that's the main thing, no mediocrity. Like whatever they do, they try to do it as best as they can. They always
strive for excellence.
Yeah, this ever-evolving will to get better.
Well, what if I'm trying to translate what you're saying to an American audience, we're talking about kids who resented the local government or the authorities, who tried to do things that were not befitting role model citizens. And through your voluntary program, they have gone through this metamorphosis that not only turned them into productive members of society, but also ones who desire to give back.
Yep.
Well, can I ask you the question that I am sure so many of our viewers are asking themselves now? Who funds you? Where do you find the budget to do what you do?
The magic about the Kosher Kavi almost is it's for most of the years we've been doing it, it's been just voluntary. So that's the answer.
So both the instructors and of course you and Shlomi, you give a lot of your time. Twice a week is not a simple matter.
Yeah, sometimes it's even more than twice a week. Sometimes when they, so the army tries to make the screening process like mekubatz.
Amalgamated, easier, more concentrated, yeah.
Yeah, so most of the kids, they go the same month or 2 months of the year. So at that period of time, we do at least 3 workouts a week.
And every time 2 hours?
At least. Like Fridays, it's 3.5-4 hours. You have to understand the workout, it's not only running and strength workouts.
No, I have to understand like that. Exactly that. Please explain to me.
Every workout,
hours, what do you do?
Every workout ends in a, I would call it deep briefing for a lack of a better word, but it's like a summary that we do when the kids, they get a chance to say what they did wrong in the workout.
I want to stop you there for a minute, Chai.
Okay.
I want to stop you there.
Okay.
I want to talk about something that you just said and then please continue. Debriefing. And you're mentioning casually, but this is actually one of the most important social elements of Israeli society and especially IDF culture, of taking a process and immediately after its execution, analyzing it to understand honestly and sincerely and openly what was done wrong, what was done right, and what can be done better. This is a crucial element of the honest discussion and discourse within Israeli society. So tell us exactly, what do you do?
So the first thing they have to do in the debrief is to say what they did wrong as an individual. And the idea here is that I say it out loud, and I've gone through that embarrassed stage of telling it to so many other people and people I look up to and my friends, then I can say it inward. You know what I mean? And they take it and they keep doing it with whatever they do afterwards, like in school, in the way they act with their families, if they help their mother or they didn't, things like that. And the debriefing, it goes with them. It's like a value they get. It's a feature they get, and they'll always have it.
I understand. You mentioned the families, Shai. How do the families of these kids react to the kosher kravi, the combat fitness activity? Or do they support you? Are they suspicious? What kind of interaction do you have with the families?
Oh, well, maybe mothers are suspicious at first regarding the health of their child, but like a month in or 2 weeks in, I would get a phone call. Thank you so much. You have no idea what it did to my son or my daughter. She started helping me with the dishes. She never helped me with the dishes. Things like that. And they see the connection to the kosher kavi immediately, even when I failed to connect the dots. But yeah, it affects them good. And we got a good, the feedbacks are very positive. I would say almost most of the time, all of the time.
What is, have you ever had, in the spirit of debrief, when you're talking about successes and failures, what do you consider a failure in the program?
Well, we would talk about something like anything, just a tiny bit less than the best I could have done is mediocrity.
So that's not the best, but the best one could have done.
Yeah, because I wouldn't expect anyone to come join the program to be good once they got there. Yeah. But I do expect them to realize what they put themselves in. And as simple as that, you came to work hard. You came to work as hard as you can and try not to disappoint yourself. Do anything you can do not to disappoint yourself. And that's it. I don't want you to run faster than anyone. I want you to give the best you can. And it's very obvious, especially for people like us, because we've been doing it for a long time. It's very obvious when someone is what we call giving up on themselves.
Wow.
Anything less than the best I could do is mediocrity.
Do you find yourself or the instructors to create an intimate relationship with those kids so that they feel open enough to come to you if they're coping with problems?
Too much so, yeah. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I would get phone calls in the middle of dinners with my wife and I would leave the house in the middle of dinner and talk for like 5, 10, 15 minutes.
That's exactly what I was, because when you're talking about the workouts, a couple of times or more a week, each time for a few hours, that doesn't include that one-on-one interaction, that personal guidance you're providing these kids.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you have, do you sometimes help them with the authorities?
Yeah, sometimes. We have two...
You got to appreciate the most Israeli of traits. The one word that says so much. You know, I can just see the smile on your face when you're saying yes, but how many mountains of work that entails?
Humility is one of the biggest things we try to teach the kids. So, you know, I have to...
Exercise it. But yeah, it's more, you know, I'm happy we get a chance here on JBS to share an important story, because what you're sharing with us is a story of civil engagement that's very suitable for the Israeli IDF reality, but can be easily adjusted to other neighborhoods and other cities and other places around the world if only you have people who are willing to engage positively with their future in order to solve problems rather than only smash cars' windows and, you know, deal with such anger and rage with their problems in a way that does not provide them with any real solution. And here you have a program that started from nothing, only from the great heart and involvement of your family, of Shlomi and yourself, and you really made a difference in the community.
Yeah, you complimented me too much. So other than saying yes,
Yeah, it's difficult. I know. It's just important to understand the value of what you do, because there is a lesson here for others who are listening and who hear this and see you in what we can do as a society, each and every one of us, to show caring and engage with everything that's around us, especially, by the way, here and in the U.S. today, Shai. There are a lot of issues that people face here today, and there are different ways in which they engage with those issues. And the fact that we are able here at JBS to share with them your story, we're actually providing them with a path of engagement that is constructive and positive and meaningful. And that's why I keep on emphasizing the value. Can I ask you, just before we conclude, what are your hopes, your dreams for the future? What do you hope to achieve as you continue to lead this program into the 2030s, 40s, 50s?
So we have about 50 students today, like 50 teenagers. I want to have 150.
Very good.
With the most of them being from Okiva, and like the... There was a great improvement in the percentage for enlisting, but now in all of Israel, it's dropping down immensely again. And that's something I'd like to change. And yeah, reaching outside of Okiva is also
important. So I'll tell you what, I do hope that when the time comes and we are beyond this plague, you will be able to also visit the United States and maybe come to New York. And I think maybe even visit and share your story with some of the social activists in various neighborhoods to try and implement the Israeli model and share a story of inspiration, showcasing Israel in what it really is, this heart with a nation, nation with a heart.
I want to say one more thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's almost needless to say here, but... During the first lockdown we had, at least 20 students from the Kosher Kavi, they helped the city with providing food to the older people, and providing medicines and everything to those who needed, and just it was their own initiative, like to go and seek out where they can help. While everyone were, you know, in their house.
Wow, Shai, that's a perfect closure of our conversation to complete the full circle of the Combat Fitness Program and COVID-19. I'd like to thank you very much, Shai, for your vision, leadership, for your sense of devotion and dedication for your fellow Israelis. It was a pleasure having you with us on JBS today.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Like we mentioned many times in the past, Israel's innovation industry is much more than just a slogan. It exists in the social realm just as much as it exists on the technological one. It's deeply rooted and embedded in what Israel is, in people's hearts, and their unique initiatives, just like the one we heard today, is an example of an Israeli invention that could be implemented across the US and in many places around the world if you will it. As someone famously said, it is no dream. Doing good can start with all of us. It doesn't depend on the government or the city council. It depends on the goodwill of ordinary citizens who decide to do a deed. Thank you all for watching. And to all we say, stay safe and stay healthy. And in the great Israeli spirit, stay happy. I would like to thank our director, Sloan Copeland, our managing director, Dara Golub, technical manager, Michael Paley, our transmission manager, John McDevitt, and our producer of In the News, Carol Lilienthal. For JBS, I'm Shachar Azani. Until next time, see you and Leitraot.